Here we go. Thing. Yes, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Yeah, well, that's the only version. Well, they have a shorter version.
Oh, I thought that was the short version.
No, that's actually the long version.
Oh.
But, yeah, we actually are starting the show. That was our intro for tonight. This is, what is this, October the 12th. And we are recovering from...
We are sore. we are beat up.
We have been hit by a fucking train.
Yeah, he was in a Broncos jersey.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Dude.
Saturday, we went and saw the fictional death metal band Death Clock.
How can you see something that's fictional?
Well, we did. That's what makes this. He was a paranormal.
I've seen Spinal Tap in concert too.
Right.
So I guess
this is a paranormal show. Yeah, we've seen the Folksman, and we've seen all kinds of fun stuff. Anyway.
Just to interject here, if anybody hasn't been banned from the Taps chat room, come on over, because I don't seem to be able to get banned.
Yeah, Brian's playing in the Taps chat room right now.
GHI Greg came in there and whack, gone.
Yeah, they knocked Greg out.
I've done everything but cuss out Jason and Grant personally, and they just won't kick me out.
Yeah. Well, they probably don't realize who you are, maybe. I don't know. But... yeah, I see Guy Incognito was bringing up last week's South Park. That was brilliant.
That was actually in my paranormal news thing that I got here.
Oh, well, should we just start right into that? Or?
I did bring that up in the Taps chat room because somebody said, Ghost Hunters is my favorite show. So I went up and said, well, I prefer South Park myself. No comments. I don't get this, people.
That, it was funny. Oh, my God. It was so, oh, my God, it was funny.
Wasn't it? Oh, first, yeah, well, go ahead, talk.
You got some news you want to talk about?
I actually have something, but I...
Yeah, we're going to talk about news and stuff, and then we're going to tell everybody about our Death Clock experience and run the interview. You'll see some pictures from the tour bus there to the lower left by the chat room there that are cycling around from the fun interview we did. So, but first, we are going to talk about the week in paranormal.
And, it was a week?
Well, whatever. It's weak news, that's for sure. But I don't feel like... I didn't hook up my keyboard, so I don't feel like sound effects. I'll just go like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Go for it. Yeah, it came from Caddyshack, whatever.
I was about to say, I'm playing golf here all of a sudden. I don't get it. Well, you know... Sorry, man. I'm reading out of the chat room again, and I'm in trouble now. People are just wrong. Okay, the first thing that I was going to touch on, because of our favorite NASA people.
Our favorite NASA people.
They did the L-Cross impact last Friday.
Right.
They
bombed the moon.
They bombed the moon, quote from Jeff Peckman.
Yeah, because the moon has obviously been harboring weapons of mass destruction, and we needed to take preemptive action.
Well, no, they said that it was... He said it was aliens that are living there.
Right.
And that not only were we breaking the treaty with them, but because...
Everybody knows that the treaty says nothing about that.
Exactly. But there's also treaties in place that say that we won't have war on the moon. I just don't even think that crossed anybody's mind while we were writing all of these many, many treaties that have been signed. Regardless of that, we bombed it. It worked well. And they have all sorts of cool data. And, you know, unlike the Peckmanites would like to think, all of the data is being released as it's collected. I mean, they're just dumping it. They said, you can have the raw data. Hop onto our site and you've got it. There's no waiting. There's no...
Right.
It's wonderful.
it cracks me up that was like such a big deal, about us bombing the the moon.
Exactly.
Nobody sees any real scientific advantage to it. Whatever. All right.
Get it, people? Paper.
Real paper. That was a good Rush Limbaugh impression.
Okay, I was hoping it was more of a Johnny Carson myself. But okay. This one's for you.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
I'm going to read this one verbatim because it's that good. Chris Jackson, presenter of Inside Out in Northeast and Cumbria, registered his pet George with three industry bodies. Each one accepted as certificates from the non-existent Society of Certified Advancement Mind Therapists as proof of his credentials. It follows a similar investigation by an American clinical psychologist. Basically, what he did is he registered his cat George with the British Board of Neurolinguistic Programming as a hypnotherapist. So he has a cat that's a registered hypnotherapist.
Wow.
Is that wonderful?
And I bet you that cat is probably fucking kicking our asses in terms of clients.
He's happy.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And now for the story that makes you go, woo. Genus Creations Entertainment is proud to announce the release of, quote, Conversations with the Dead, An Evening with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh.
Bonnie Vint.
Oh, I'm in pain.
Has put out this lovely, lovely recording where she had a long conversation with Marilyn.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's all I can take.
I can imagine.
Let's see, we already talked about Ghost Hunters on South Park. That was wonderful. It was the...
Yeah, if anybody didn't see it, you can go to Comedy Central's website, I believe.
Yeah, just go to comedycentral.com, click on the South Park logo, and...
Watch away.
I think you can go to South Park Studios.
It's called... Too. Yeah, yes. And it's called Dead Celebrities.
Yep.
And it is an outstanding episode, and I don't think Ghost Hunters will ever be the same.
No.
We really recommend it. You got to go see it.
Let's see, I got a couple others here that are I haven't really read.
All right.
Strange bright ring-shaped cloud. All of these UFO reports coming out of Moscow. Tons of them. Lots of videos. Guess what? Natural cloud.
Really?
Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, it looks like something out of Independence Day.
Uh-huh.
But it was normal. It was natural. And all the UFO freaks are just going crazy.
Oh, God.
And I won't read the whole thing here. But back in production is The Legend of Boggy Creek. They're remaking it.
Crickets?
Electric crickets? Okay, and did you hear about the Shroud of Turin?
I heard that Ben Radford was talking that it still is got more evidence against
it. It's been proven wrong yet once again.
Once again.
But this guy proved it wrong by actually reproducing it with things used at the time,
mm-hmm.
and did a wonderful job of it. So, once again, it's been, you know...
Shown that it could easily have been faked.
Yeah, no, it's been shown that it was faked.
Right. And then, you know, when you apply a little Occam's razor to it, it's really doubtful that it was the Son of God that made it.
Exactly.
Got it.
I'm just going to read this one. I haven't actually read it, but it sounded fun. Officials at a North Georgia college are investigating a possible exorcism.
A possible
officers exorcism. Are investigating an exorcism.
Yeah, we're going to talk about cops and paranormal here in a minute, I think.
A student at Berry College near Rome claimed he cast the devil out of a former student. The alleged exorcism happened in late September in a dorm room. According to Gene Matthews with Berry College, the student sent an email to several students detailing the exorcism, and some of the recipients of the email alerted the campus authorities. The official said it was not part of a school-sponsored event or group. Sounds like Penn State's explanation to me yelling
right,
at them.
Exactly.
The exorcism was not college-approved or condoned activity. This was a group of students acting on their own religious faith in a student dormitory. The college has removed the student from his position as a dorm resident advisor.
Nice.
Now, does that mean that there are college-approved exorcisms? We really need to contact this college and ask them if that wasn't, you know, blessed by the college.
Yeah, what are the qualifications?
Do you guys have the same rules as the Catholic Church? Or?
I think you got to be a little more lenient. You know, if it's done as an educational exercise, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay,
that
talk about cops.
Hilarious.
Well, I don't want to deal with it.
You know, we got an email from a it seems like there's a lot of paranormal investigators out there that like to throw out the credential of I'm a retired police officer, or we're a group of off-duty police officers or whatever. From what we've seen, now this is only a stereotype, people, but stereotypes come from somewhere. They are based, in fact, somewhere. You know, that there's a certain number of people that are giving birth to this stereotype. The stereotype that we've seen is police officers and retired police officers are some of the most superstitious, easily freaked out people we've ever seen.
They're terrified of ghosts.
They are not afraid of drug dealers with machine guns, and yet they are terrified of an orb. It is a very bizarre thing. I mean, we've run into it several times where the cops are absolutely terrified of ghosts. And so now we've got a bunch of them saying, oh, yeah, we're, you know, off-duty police officers, retired police officers, and we're starting this paranormal research team. And I'm sorry, it's just not a good credential. Just not a good credential. And, oh, yeah, GHI Greg here, he's talking about the conference in Chicago, that there were cops there wearing their guns. There was, what was the security team you were talking about? They brought their own security with them?
That was
FBI. Was that that? Who did that? Jesus.
That was back in the origin days.
Back in the old days.
Yeah, and they had a fully armed escort that they took with them all the time because, you know, you need that.
Yeah, which is really brilliant.
And if I have to back that up, I do have the original emails still, so I'm talking about it.
And needless to say, the police didn't take too kindly to paranormal groups carrying guns. So even if you're registered to carry a gun, it's just not a good idea when it comes to paranormal investigation, because most of these jack-offs get spooked easily, and you don't want to be drawing your gun if you're feeling spooked.
Well, just as an example, I just finished a stint at the International Association of Chiefs of Police Conference.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't allowed to bring their guns.
Right, yeah. Well,
it's like, who's going to be there? Bunch of cops. Don't bring a gun. Which was probably a good idea, but...
Yeah, it's just not a good idea. I mean, they are trained for the real world, and when you start throwing fantasy at them, I don't know that it's a good idea, because, I don't know. But, yeah, there is... Greg had posted, I saw it on Facebook...
Steph.
He posted this. Is Steph there in the chat
room? Steph is in the chat room.
In the TAPS
one
family.
One Steph infection joke and I'm out of there.
Yep. That is the TAPS family chat room that Brian is in, and Steph has just shown up. So, and Rick, I switched out the hard drive in the computer. He can now get back in. He's not in no longer banned. So.
I don't know how long that's going to last.
Right. Just so you know. But anyway, Greg had posted on... Facebook, at least. I don't know where else he's posted it, but maybe he can say here in the chat room, this great recap of the conference. And it is hysterical.
It's on Ghost Hunters. It's on the Who Forwarded.
The Who Forwarded. Also, yeah, throw in the link there again for Guy Incognito so he can get over there and check it out. So anyway.
Which link?
The TAPS family.
Oh. Then I won't post it in the TAPS family. That would get
yeah, it'll get banned of leaving giving their own link. So anyway, the blog, the Twitter, whatever, got it. The Death Clock concert. What was supposed to happen was that Mike Keneally is one of the guitarists in Death Clock, and
he's the guitarist,
right? He's got a long history of. Playing with famous people, that's for sure. He replaced Steve Vai in Frank Zappa's band, and he has played with practically every notable musician since then, even Buckethead. We just missed him. God damn it. I wonder if Reed went. We'll have to find out if Reed went and saw him. Anyway, Mike Keneally is just a phenomenon. He's incredible. A phenom. So anyway, he was supposed to give me a call at like 2 o'clock, and we were going to go meet and have lunch and do the interview and have a great time. Turns out that right outside of Salt Lake City, the weather was so bad, they got pulled over for about 4 hours and had to sit there. So everything was delayed, and it was just absolutely stressful for them. And no sound check, no nothing. The crew, everything was late, the stage. So they had to put everything together very quickly. So he gives me a call and says, meet me at the tour bus behind the Fillmore. Meet me at the tour bus at 8:30.
Yeah, just get through security first.
Yeah. So I'm sweet-talking the big, chubby security guy, and he falls for it. Don't ask me how.
Yeah, he let us walk right through.
Yeah, you know, and I had my backpack full of C4 and everything. He didn't even question.
We're here to kill the band.
Yeah.
Please let us through.
So he didn't even seem to care. So anyway, we got, Celtic Witch brings up a good point. There was the conspiracy to keep people from escaping the Mormons.
Ah, that's true.
That's a really good point. But then they probably played some of their music for the Mormons and were set
really
free.
Easy. All you have to do is go, hey, I'm divorced.
Right, right.
Go home.
Hey, I'm gay. That's what
works. That works, too.
Yeah, that's how I got out. So anyway, we won't go into that.
I got divorced from my brother. That'll get you out in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that probably would. So, anyway, we get on the tour bus, and Mike is there, and he's a beautiful human. He looked great. He lost a lot of weight from last year, but he's very, just seems unlikely. You know, he's this older guy. He's got this big gray beard. You know, to me, it just looks like he's got Vienna sausages for fingers, and the guy can play guitar like nobody's business. He is absolutely amazing. But on top of that, he's probably the sweetest human being I've ever met. He is just so kind and just has a great heart and wonderful guy.
You know something that just blows me away? Him and Brian both are just like the most mellow, down-to-earth.
They really are.
And the next thing you know, they're on stage playing like death metal.
Right, and growling at people.
Exactly. It's like, these aren't the guys I know.
So we're going to play you the interview right now, and then we're going to recap the show and just how badly Brian and I were beat the fuck out of. it was very entertaining, and we're going to give my son Logan a call because he's a huge Death Clock fan, and you know, he got to sit on the tour bus, and then he got to experience his first mosh pit. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So we'll go ahead and play La Interview now.
Go, guy.
Sunday, 20 cars.
All right. And we are ready to go.
Right on.
I was doing that last weekend when I was shooting early Army. It's like,
all right, shut up. We're starting.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Oh my God.
All right.
I see little wavies on there.
Yeah, there's little wavies.
It's just
easier for me to see because I'm closer.
Magnification.
But here, I'll make you happy.
Gotcha. I don't trust you.
Well, you shouldn't.
Is the delay still on? Still on? Still on?
There, see, is that a little better?
No.
You can actually see that there's... Well, you got to wait for Mike to say something.
Check.
Okay. Also, we got to watch his voice. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
This is a riveting show.
Well, so far. Well, I can edit, but I won't.
Yeah, you won't, I know.
So,
hello, world.
This is... we have Brian and Baxter sitting on the Death Clock tour bus. This is very exciting before Death Clock goes on. Unfortunately, there was a huge delay at the previous night's night's gig in was it Salt Lake City, Utah?
The delay actually wasn't in Salt Lake. It was
on
during
the
drive on the way here. I'm not sure how far out of town because I was asleep, but there was there were ice and snow conditions which caused us to pull the bus over for about 4 hours.
Wow.
While we were driving into town this morning. So normally we would attempt to get to a venue like this at 10 or 11 o'clock at the latest so that they can start assembling the stage and everybody can get a sound check and make sure that everything's working. But we didn't get here till 3:30 today.
Wow.
And I'm not sure what time, according to that sign, doors were at 6. So that meant 2.5 hours to assemble the stage. And there were no sound checks today. So
when
we get up on stage to do the show, it'll be the first time we've actually set foot on the stage tonight, and we have no idea what it's going to sound like.
So, oh, wow.
This will be an adventure for everyone, I hope.
Well, for those of you that haven't figured it out, we are sitting with Mike Keneally, otherwise known as Toki Wartooth, for the night. And
actually not.
I think no would have been the answer.
You know, Brian seems to be completely fine with taking on the William Murderface.
Desperation takes all forms. Brendan and I are both kind of, we're
both interchangeable on that one.
The guitar parts do kind of bump around from one or the other of us. It's
right.
It's definitely not like prescribed roles. Like I'm always Toki and he's always Skarsgård.
Right.
And we none of us, unless Ryan really is in his fevered imaginings, thinking that he's William Murderface on stage. None of us are attempting to portray anybody other than ourselves.
Well, and that's one of the things that makes it so great, though. That makes the joke better, I think, is the fact that none of you look like any of the characters.
Well, it's not even a joke in our minds, because the real Death Clock, which is the animated Death Clock, they're up on the screen.
Right.
That's the show is meant to be taken in as a in many different levels, and so the cartoon band, which is Toki and Skarsgård and Murderface and all the rest of them, they're up on the screen, so they don't need to have humans portraying them on the stage.
Right.
And we're all dressed in black and not particularly well lit, so the visually the focus is not meant to be on us, and we're definitely not attempting to portray the band. The way we describe it is that we are the metal equivalent of an orchestra pit band, simply providing the live music for this extravaganza.
Right.
Which doesn't mean that you still don't get a guy going, "Hey, Toki!" after the show, but just that's not the way we're looking at it.
Right. I have to admit, the last one that I was at over at the Gothic when you were here last year, I was watching you guys equally as much as I was watching the screen, as much as you guys tried to hide. But
we made the screen bigger this year, so that it would be. But
it was a great show. Yeah. So what are some of the differences this year? How's
just
it been?
A big bunch of new tunes, because there's a new album, the Death Album 2, which came out just a few days ago.
Yes, which several of us have already purchased.
Lovely.
So,
and so that there's that infusion of new material into the show, and also as in regards to this particular tour. A whole new set of bands that are playing with us, including Mastodon, who are magnificent, and Converge and High on Fire, who are also magnificent. So it's a great bunch of bands.
So yeah, last year it was Chimera and Soylent Green, and so now you got an extra band this year.
Yeah, we've got four.
Yeah,
four bands to try to get on stage when we got here 5 hours late.
Yeah, that's crazy that all that happened. And I'm really, really thankful that you've decided to take the time to talk to us and everything.
Oh, no problem.
And we're really disappointed because the last interview that you did with us was really well received. And it was an experiment because we were doing it with video and everything at the same time. And the website that was hosting all that, they give you no way to archive. And after 6 months, they pull them and they're gone.
Oh, okay.
So your last interview is now vapor, and it's like really disappointing.
Well, that, and they archived it into like 5-minute sections too.
Right, yeah, they're in 15-minute sections. it was a pain for people to get to. So I was like, we're really happy that now we've got you.
Do it
and
again.
you can't escape. So
okay.
So that one's good. And you're looking really good.
Thank you. So are you.
Oh, thank you. So you're looking really healthy. You look like you've lost quite a bit of weight, and you just look like you're ready to tear this place down.
Right on. Yeah, so. I feel relatively fit.
Good. I'm really glad to hear that.
Until he steps out and gets a breath of that nice Colorado air.
Oh, that's bracing. Yeah, that's it's like inhaling
nothing.
Echinacea juice.
And there's no oxygen in it, and it's freezing.
Exactly.
Brian here is a big Zappa fan, and
me too.
One of the things that we discussed, we've seen. I think there was an ad for Berklee School of Music thing that Steve Vai had recorded, where he talked about all the things that Frank made him do during the audition. Did Frank make you play the bicycle at any time?
No. Did Frank make Steve play the bicycle during his audition?
No, he didn't. Okay. But we've seen Frank play the bicycle. So
things.
Yeah, I don't think that Frank mastered that skill, but I don't think he demanded it of anyone else.
So, what do you have any big memories about your audition with Frank?
Yeah. Well, he had told me on the phone that he wanted me to learn or be prepared to play for him. What's New in Baltimore and Sinister Footwear 2.
God, I love What's New in Baltimore.
Yeah. And I had never played What's New in Baltimore before. I had played Sinister Footwear, but I hadn't played it in a while, so I had to brush up on that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then What's New in Baltimore, I hadn't played before, but one of the things that I was telling him on the phone in an attempt to get him interested in hiring me was that I knew his material so well, just as a fan and, you know, an obsessed listener, that I could learn complicated repertoire like that pretty quickly. So he said, "Okay, have you played What's New Baltimore?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, can you learn it for tomorrow's audition?" And I said, "Yeah." And then, you know, spent quite a few, you know, feverish hours trying to get that beast under my fingers, and I learned it well enough to demonstrate my primary point, which was, yeah, I could, if I didn't know it right at that moment, give me a little bit of time and I'll have it.
Right, that's awesome.
Good to bury yourself sometimes.
Yeah. So speaking of that, how much time did you guys really have to? We just had another visitor come on.
Yeah, this is Ace, our tour manager.
Hi, Ace.
Oh, yeah, feel free. Ace is going to appear. He's going to break pouring ice, but that's okay because it goes with the climate.
It's a normal Colorado sound.
Well,
it's
that's
not
what I was
deal.
Wondering. Is ice, and it's like 3 degrees outside.
Here, we're going to open the window right now.
Yeah. Really, all you need to do is just hold your cup out the window for a second. Exactly. You're fine. So, how much time did you have to get the songs down for this tour?
For this tour?
Yes.
We rehearsed as a band for a week. Then there was a certain amount of time prior to that for me to practice on my own, getting the stuff together. I had met with Brendan, just the two of us, so that I could learn what he did on the records, because he plays all the guitars on the album. Mm-hmm. And then I make little notes based on what he shows me at this meeting, and then I take those notes home and work on it. But I didn't have that much time to work independently prior to the band rehearsal, because I was busy trying to get the artwork for Scambot together before I left on the road, and just a million other things that was going. I'm producing an album for my friend Matt Riznikoff, and that took a bunch of time, and basically there just wasn't a lot of time that I could devote to nothing but Death Clock until the rehearsal period started.
Scambot, do we have a Scambot update?
Just that it's now available for pre-order. Scambot 1, which is the first of what will eventually be 3 volumes.
But awesome.
Finally finished one of them. And it's actually there's a special edition which consists of 2 albums.
Uh-huh.
which are called Scambot 1 and Songs and Stories inspired by Scambot 1.
Nice.
The second album was like this spasmodic response to finally finishing the first album, which I worked on for literally 10 years, although I did a bunch of other albums in the meantime. The first album, the earliest music that was recorded for Scambot 1 was recorded 10 years ago, and then I finally finished it this year. And with the huge palpable sense of relief getting that album finished, and then also this kind of creative rush of energy, I quickly made a second album using some of the material that didn't fit on the first album, and also, you know, quickly creating a bunch of new music in response, you know, literally inspired by the first album. So,
right.
Whereas the first album is this very, very heavily planned and deeply thought out and you know, minutely detailed you know, masterwork or whatever you want to call it. The second album is like this crazy reflex action.
Ah, so that's cool.
It's kind of two sides of the same coin.
And that's going to be really interesting to hear how the character differs on the two.
Yeah, they feel totally different. They do, even though they share some of the same source material. They really feel like different albums.
Oh,
and the majority
cool.
of the music on the second album is completely unique in the second album. And then there's also cool. a long story that I wrote for the booklet of the CD, which is a 24-page book with this infinitely detailed, ridiculous storyline that explains what the hell is going on the album. Because Scambot is a character. There's a bunch of characters in this piece, and there is like this detailed plot, which I hope to eventually flesh out in a comic strip that we plan to put online.
Oh, that'll be fun. That's cool.
With all the spare time I have.
Yeah, you're insane when it comes to that. You've always got something going on.
It's best to keep busy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I just had a brilliant question, too. And
where did it go?
Poof, it was gone. But it was...
parsley?
Oh, no, you just reminded me with parsley. Thank you. It's the question is... Well, first, it's a statement. Love it when you include, both you and Brian, when you include the DVDs of the recording process.
Ah,
oh, that's wonderful.
That is so entertaining. Loved it with Dog, and love it on Brian's solo one that he just released. thank you. What is it?
Thanks in advance.
Thanks in advance. Thank you. Absolutely love the DVD. I mean, of course, the music is fantastic, but getting to watch all that happen. Right. Love your appearance doing that recording. That is so entertaining. Love the blooper, too. It's like the musical joke that only musicians will get. So.
I haven't even watched the blooper section of that DVD, so Brian occasionally makes reference to that, and I haven't even seen it. So someday I'll watch it.
It is very funny. Gene pops in. Hi, Gene. How's it going? No, just doing the short little interview. Ignore us. Now that Gene probably can't hear us,
right?
Does he have robot legs?
This is your life. Atomic legs.
Atomic legs. Yeah. He freaks me out. We were listening to Death Album 2 on the way down here with special focus on the bass drums, and
I think it's mechanical. It's got to be.
He's just frightening.
You'll definitely be able to focus on that tonight. It's completely beyond belief what he does.
I remember, the first time I was exposed to him was listening to Devin Townsend's solo work, and then from there I went, well, I have to listen to Strapping Young Lad. And it was like, this is the same drummer? I mean, I thought the bass drum parts were really complicated with Devin, very impressive, but not the sheer mechanical, full speed ahead energy that was on Strapping Young Lad. And I was just like, wow, that's absolutely insane.
He's truly capable of superhuman feats, and he has a new DVD out called Gene Hoagland, the Atomic Clock. I think there's one.
Really? I will have to check that out. And it's Brian Beller.
Walked on the bus.
Hey, you're looking
with
good
his
too.
Mastodon hoodie. We're all.
That's nice.
Good.
Yeah.
There's another thing we can get you on here. What's the name of your DVD, Gene? The Atomic Clock.
That's awesome. Okay, hang on. I always get a phone call.
Sure.
Hello.
Why are you?
Because I think it's Rachel waiting for her ticket.
Oh.
So she's gonna be meeting us right outside.
That's got to take a phone call. We'll be back.
So yeah, exactly.
Every show I get a phone call. What we can do if Brian has any things he wants to pop in here real quick, we'll just hand him your headset real quick.
Oh, sure. Make me not sing.
You can lean over and whisper
in
your mind.
We're going for another 10 minutes.
So do you want? You want to say a few words because I want to ask you guys together a question of a comment that you made last time we talked, standing outside by the tour bus. So now you won't be able to hear anything in the headphone, but it'll just come through on the.
I feel more official already. Just
yes,
go for it.
That's very good, very good. Okay, so everybody, this is Brian Beller, bass player and murder face for Death Clock. So. See, he doesn't argue at all about it.
Hi. Believe me, he's no happier about it than I was.
So last year when you were here, we were talking standing outside after the show, and you were saying how the show is like a roller coaster. How when you hear those clicks from Gene at the beginning, you just got to strap in and go, and it's like that for the full time. Is it still feel that kind of excitement for you guys when you do it?
Not only do we have the same excitement that we had from the last show about getting on the roller coaster and going. Tonight we have the special added excitement of no sound check at all. Did you already say that?
Yeah, together we can recreate what we expect to happen when we hear those clicks tonight. It's gonna go click.
Oh my god. Yes, can I have like a tiny bit more snare drum, please? something like that, except a lot more curse-ridden and louder.
That's going to be pretty funny.
It'll be fun, though, on some level.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, Rachel is out by the buses. When do you want to poke your head out or something? She's either that or she's out by the front, but we'll get her ticket. You remember Rachel from last time. Yeah, she would not miss the show for anything. So
nice.
She's here, too. We were holding her ticket for her. So, yeah, this is, I heard the last night was absolutely awesome.
I certainly had a great time last night.
And I was absolutely awesome.
You were absolutely awesome.
Yes.
And I wanted to thank you so much for the signed copy of your CD and DVD.
Oh, you're so welcome.
That was, I'm glad I got in on that. I mean, I paid for it, but thank you anyway. Thanks in advance.
See, when I talk about my own material, I'm humble and I'm a normal human being. When I talk about Death Clock, I become a real prick.
You do it well. That's a good job.
Well, I'm supposed to be Murderface, and he is
a real prick, yeah. But yeah, I was talking to Mike about how much we enjoyed the DVD on that. It's just
thanks in advance.
So oh, cool. Much, yeah.
Cool.
So much fun watching the recording process, and the same thing with Dog. How those DVDs included were just so much
fun. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
You should
nice
describe
hat.
What she's wearing, yeah. That's awesome.
Hey there.
So yeah, we're just taking a few more minutes, and we're wrapping up here because these guys have to go panic before the show.
Warm up my hands.
And yeah, and now it is
a lot
is,
of labyrinth to play on the iPhone.
Now, is there any difference in playing at this altitude for you guys?
I'm gonna let you take this one.
Brendan would be the guy to ask because he's the one.
Well, that's pretty good though.
for an hour straight.
I can't do it for that long.
You know, when all I'm doing is playing the guitar, I don't really necessarily sense the altitude. But I think Gene senses the altitude.
Yeah.
Well, Gene's got to work his butt off back there, so.
Brendan, I'm sure, will be sensing the altitude.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, I saw you tweeted that you have a lot more background growling this time.
That's true.
Is that for both of you, or?
We both are doing more.
I don't know. I always begin the rehearsal phase saying, "Yeah, I'm going to do a lot more background vocals on this tour," and then I just let Brian do it all.
You know, these are the only background vocals that I can actually do because I don't have to worry about what pitch I'm supposed to hit. So, pardon me while I indulge in the background vocals that I always wanted to, but I've never been able to pull off.
Well, I'll see.
I'm doing that stuff with you on Burn the Earth, and that's fun.
That is cool. Yeah. It requires two people.
Yeah.
Although that third line is always just kind of like...
It's really hard to pronounce.
Well, I remember last year, I kind of came to the rescue because I had a pocket full of cough drops.
Oh, I was feeling awful when I came here last year.
Yeah, you came out, you were like, and I was like, hey. Yeah. And you were like, oh, thank God. You
saved the show.
Well,
you saved the show.
I saved the conversations after the show is all I did. But yeah, I'll take that. I like that. I think I'll edit out the part where I just said I didn't. So that'll work. Well, that's true. I don't. I just put this crap up just the way it is.
I think you're an excellent edit.
Dick. Well,
well, we're going to get out of your hair and let you guys get to your rituals before the show.
Right
and,
on. Draw some pentagrams on the ground. Yeah.
We do have a chicken. No, we don't have it with us, do we? Oh, okay.
No.
So next time.
We'll be anointing ourselves.
I know. You can stop.
Wesson.
There. That's Wesson. Nice. Oh, that's... I might hang around for that. So we will let you guys get on with the show. We're going to go in and enjoy you profusely.
All right.
And hopefully we'll see you afterwards. So okay. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
And you want to say goodnight, Brian?
Goodnight, Brian. What, you make me feel... Wow, there's, like, audio in this thing. I'm
yeah, it's pretty vibey, actually.
Wow, kind of echoey. Mm-hmm. No, thanks, guys.
Very well.
Now that I'm officially on the radio again. they got to go play. So.
All right, cool.
All right, so that was the conversation with Mike Keneally and Brian Beller of Death Clock, and that was just an absolute blast. Hanging with them. So from there, we actually got escorted through the backstage, whisked past security.
I think it was actually across the backstage.
Yeah, it was very cool, I mean, that's for sure. But it was very cool how we got to go in through the back and everything, and they didn't make me check any of my pistols or anything, just went straight through. And the very popular group Mastodon was playing, and the floor was packed with people. And we waited until they were done, and then the floor kind of cleared out, and we went down into the middle of the floor. And it was kind of interesting because my 16-year-old son, Logan, was down there, and that wasn't me. Somebody's buzzing here. I think it's Brian.
Not me.
Not me either.
No.
That's weird. I don't know what's going on. I'm freaking out. All right, anyway. So we
ooh,
got...
Rick is about to get the boot.
Oh, over in the Taps
we're talking about actors
room.
on Ghost Investigations. He says someone who could really pull off the whole ghost thing better than Collargate. That's pretty, Rick. I like that.
yeah, that's true.
They didn't kick him out. He is like golden in there, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
He had like insult somebody's mother the last time to get some, you know, kicked out there.
So we're just not having a lot of luck getting kicked out. Now, Greg did a fine job, that's for sure. He got kicked out in no time, but...
Well, yeah, he just went in with and asked, you know, the typical dating question, and bang.
So anyway, we're out there on the floor, and we both, Brian and I, realized at the same time that where we were standing was going to be this big mosh pit in a very short amount of time. And Brian looked over at Logan and said, "You ever been in a mosh pit before?" And he was just like, "Huh." So we had to give him some tips on how to navigate the mosh pit. And I'm sure you guys can all picture this in your heads. You know, me and Brian standing out there amongst all these crazy death metal heads. And it's very interesting. So when it started and the moshing started going, we got tossed around. And it was so much fun. But Brian and I, knowing how to navigate a little bit, knowing how to deal with moshing, ended up going forward in the crowd while Logan and his girlfriend were tossed violently back. And so he
about 30 feet.
Yeah. So Brian and I, we were taking people out left and right, and that was quite a lot of fun. I thought we'd give Logan a quick call here and let him talk about his experience with the whole thing. So let me see if he's even going to answer. You never know. I love my phone. It's dialing music. I hate it when he always, when he doesn't answer and his mailbox has been full for 2 years. Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Are you awake?
Yep.
Wow, you are riveting. Very electric.
Yeah, he's not even in the chat room. What's
I know. You're not even listening to the show.
No, I'm not.
All right.
He heard it, though.
Well, yeah, he was there for it live. So we were just talking about our experience of the show. Why don't you tell us how it went for you?
Well, both me and Lauren, our friends, pretty much hate us now.
And why?
Just because.
Because we actually got to meet Mike Keneally, Brian Beller, Gene Holden.
Uh-huh.
Sadly, didn't get to meet Brendan Small, but...
Yeah, he was pretty buried and having to do all that other kind of stuff, so...
Then another group of our friends just basically asked, who?
So what about the concert? You know, we're standing there before the concert starts, and Brian asks you if you've ever been in a mosh pit before. So kind of what was going through your mind after it got started?
Well, I remembered you... Tell me the story about how he had to punch that guy in the face.
Uh huh.
So I went there with my eyes, like, oh, great.
Nothing like having your dad freak you out before a moshing, huh?
Yeah. I still wish I could have seen Brian.
Yeah.
Why?
Me too. My back was to him. And
yeah,
I
was right behind him.
He was plowing through people.
Well, yeah, you made it like way, way, way far up in front of me, and I just. It's like, nope, got to go up there.
Yeah.
Everybody out of my way, me coming through.
We just basically followed Rachel's advice and moved with the flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it seemed like you guys were going backwards while we were going forwards.
Yeah.
So, did you get slammed around very much?
A little.
A little.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, I was very sore the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, we feel like we've been hit by a car, that's for sure. But it was an absolutely crazy, crazy time. I mean, you see us two old paranormal guys out there in the mosh pit. I think that was, was kind of cool. But so what did you think of the show?
I thought it was amazing.
All right. Yeah. Is there any more descriptive words you could use?
It was very brutal.
All right. Well, that's cool.
I found a new love for the song, The Gears.
Uh-huh.
I kind of liked it. Like, after seeing the video and hearing it live,
uh-huh,
I love it.
Well, the interesting thing is, after I got home, Brian Beller gave me a call, you know, to thank us for coming and doing the interview and everything, and which I want to, you know, tell everybody that BrianBeller.com is a great place to go buy his new release, thanks in advance, and it is absolutely excellent. It is not death metal. It is much more of a progressive rock with a little bit of jazz influence, Zappa influence, and it's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And Mike Keneally at Keneally.com, you can pre-order his new project, Scambot, which he's been actually working on for about 10 years, and really recommend those. Yeah. And the cool thing is I talked to Mike the next day, and he said that during the Gears, because the way this works is up on the screen they have videos of the cartoon band playing, so they have to play perfectly in sync with that the entire show. And the funny thing is that during the Gears, Brendan actually got off by about two beats. So they had to make the big tough decision, do they follow Brendan or do they follow Gene on drums to stay on the track? So everybody had to follow Brendan for about 10 seconds before they got back on track. And to them it sounded like a disaster, but to all of us it sounded perfect.
Breaking news. Dr. Atlantis just got kicked out of the chat room.
Oh, Dr. Atlantis just was booted out of the Tapped family chat room. Nice job, Dr. Atlantis.
Just in there again.
Yeah, we're in there again. What, Dad? Is there something wrong with that?
He just said EVP and got kicked out.
You do have a potty mouth, Dr. Atlantis. Well, Logan, thanks a lot for chatting with us.
I'm not going to be on the live again.
I don't know. As soon as you get a driver's license and drive your ass down here, I would say. So, I love you, and you have a good night, okay?
I love you, too.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
So that was riveting. Riveting. But so it was really, really a fun experience, and we feel so beat up now that we're at probably a quarter level of our normally boring level.
Felt.
Yeah. So what you got any other updates going on over there?
Well, let's see. I have banned Dr. Atlantis for 24 hours. Reason, you have been warned about the contents of your speech. No more will be taken from you.
No P language in the Chaps family chat room. That's pretty funny.
And they're really starting to take down the moderators, though, going, you guys just banning people for the fact of banning people. They're like, yes, we can.
That's gay.
That's, they need to do something about that.
Yeah.
Because the minute I start saying, anybody talk about ghosts in here? They get all whiny and threaten to throw me out. And it's like, people, this is a Taps chat room. Yeah. Paranormal is their middle name there.
Yeah. You would think that they would want to talk about that kind of stuff. I don't know. So that's pretty funny. Good work, Dr. Atlantis. We appreciate your efforts in making their lives more irritating. We're hoping that this coming Sunday we're going to get to go on the Haunted House tour. And maybe Monday we can see if we can get Steve on the show. He is the guy who does all the haunted houses around. So what do you think, Brian? Do you have any idea?
Don't know a thing.
Okay.
What's a possibility.
We'll see what Celtic Witch can arrange for us in that sense. But other than that, we got anybody else coming up? We need to get Steve Spangler on the show.
Spangler's going to be on. And
yeah, well, not next
Tirsten's
week. Tirsten's
going to be on. And
yeah, we need to get Steve
GHI
Spangler.
GHI may be on someday if we can actually get their attention.
Yeah, the, you know, Greg.
He's not in there anymore.
Oh, did he leave? Because we need to talk to him and see if he wants to come on again now that they've got Who Forded back up and running. So... well, it would be Ice Witch, but it's Celtic Witch from where I sit.
Yeah, that's
that's current. Okay. Well, that's why.
Why what?
Okay, that I was being confused by what was being said.
Wow, so, why do I see...
What do you see? What are you looking at?
I got, less people in the chat room than you do.
Really? I got a whole ton of people.
I got nobody.
Wow, maybe you need to log back in. Because I've got a large list, except for you just dropped out.
Wow, hello, people. Dear God, there's a whole herd of people in here. I saw like three people in there.
Yeah, you're in the wrong chat room is what Dr.
Well,
Eddie
I was in the TAPS chat room.
So, yeah. So my apologies, Celtic Witch, that I was so... See, this is why I'm not allowed in the chat room, is I get people confused when they use the same last names. So, anyway, we should... hopefully we'll get some good guests for next week. We've got several on tap that are ready to come on the show, and they just need the word from us on when to come on, and a couple other we need to get words from them on when they're going to come on. So we'll get that figured out. And we are going to go at this point, get my witches straight. I don't know any straight witches, so, and I don't think I could straighten a single one of them. Anyway, I think that we're going to go take a nap. What do you think?
I'm trying to get thrown out of this chat room without going like completely overboard.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know I can get kicked out if I just, you know, insult somebody. Or,
right.
That's not as fun, but nothing else.
Yeah, we should do that. Now, Dr. A brings up a really good possible guest.
What?
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
And how exactly do we get Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
How the fuck did we get Death Clock?
Well, that's true. We've had some pretty interesting guests.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we can get Lloyd Kaufman to step in next week for a few minutes.
Ooh, I like that.
So that might work, too. All right. Well, this is... what are you... All right. Sweetie Bunny. That's not funny. Oh, he knows a VP at Cartoon Network. All right. Venture Brothers would be good. I would like to get Patrick Warburton.
Patrick, I might actually be starstruck.
Yeah, me too.
Takes a lot, but I think that might do it.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton. Okay, see what you can do, Dr. Atlantis. Patrick Warburton, we want to get him for the show. Everybody have a wonderful night. We're going to cut out of here. good luck with that. We're going to get out of here just a little bit early. And... take a nap, and no, we're not going to take the nap together, and no, we're not going to spoon. Jesus.
Got to drive.
Yeah, that's true. So, just so everybody knows, we are doing a walking tour of the CU campus in Boulder on Friday.
Go to our website and click on events. You can read everything that we're doing.
Okay,
so people
I'll do
know.
It. So I'm gonna
people,
be,
you're invited to all of this.
I'm going to be out of the chat room for a minute because I'm going to go read our upcoming events, which we have a lot of. And that's why we are so riveting tonight, just because this is the most exhausting time of the year for us. So we are doing, we've got a paranormal event.
I've just been threatened.
Oh.
So I'm watching you.
Oh, so you haven't been warned yet. You've been threatened.
So I said, cool, what should I do?
How may I entertain you? So yeah, on the 24th of October, we are doing a paranormal event at CU. Now, it's free admission. It's going to be very interesting because it's going to be a talk about the Lafayette Vampire. Yes, I'm as excited about it as you are.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe we can videotape it, though, and send it to Dr. Atlantis. He might be interested in such a thing.
If you are, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, he's got the cryptozoology thing. You know, vampires sort of...
There's absolutely no cryptozoology to this.
Well, but...
There's not even a vampire.
There's not cryptozoology to anything, really. I mean,
sure there
when
is.
You get down to it.
It's a coelacanth.
Well, that's the... one thing that
I
can
hate
say.
That fish. I really do.
Stupid damn thing.
In fact, if any cryptozoology people out there would really like to help me in the let's put the coelacanth back on the endangered species list support program, I'll sign your petition.
Wouldn't that be great? So, yeah, but it's going to be about the Lafayette Vampire. It's going to be basically it's the Colorado X skeptical academic team kind of going back and forth with us on the whole topic. So they're going to look boring and crappy, and we're going to look great. So that will be October 24th that we're going to be doing that. Then we got the Haunted Tours of CU in Boulder. They're walking tours. That's October 16th, and that's at 7 o'clock and 8:30. Drink specials for that. And we got a big Halloween party at the Brook Forest Inn where we're going to be telling some ghost stories and stuff that we've encountered over the years. That's at the Brook Forest Inn in Evergreen. That's Friday, October 30th that we're doing that. And then we got our Halloween party with Colorado X and Rocky Mountain Paranormal at the Yak and Yeti on October 31st. And that's from 6 o'clock to close.
And coming to you live on KHOW.
KHOW. Yes, we are on that Thursday, the 29th, we are going to be doing the annual Halloween radio show with Peter Boyles, who is a staple in the Denver area.
Yeah.
Very, very huge name here, but nowhere else. So, get your tickets for that early because it's going to sell out very quickly. And then we're also doing a lecture at the Bemis Library in Littleton. This is got to be the most boring part of the show. You know, just I'm not into promoting, you know, all the crap that we do. So just, you know, whatever. Go look at the website and see if you want to go, because I'm tired of talking about it. So let's just go to bed. What do you say? That wasn't a proposal or anything.
Somebody was just talking about armchair investigators, so I'm putting armchair investigator sounds dirty. Ban him. See if that gets me kicked out of here.
That's funny. And I didn't mean proposal, I meant proposition.
Oh, I've been threatened. Sick of you.
Oh.
R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Oh.
Say, I don't care for you either.
I have banned Dallas Stone for 6 hours. Reason? Enough. You were warned. Okay, that's a good way to end the show. I'm out of there for 6 hours.
Right,
but they
right.
only banned me for 6 hours. I got to do more.
Well, you know, the thing is you were warned. What? What did you do? They didn't care for you? Did you really break any rules? Did you do anything?
I didn't say anything bad. I didn't insult anybody.
Taps Family Chat Room sucks, everybody. Just so you know. Just so you know. All right, we are going to get out of here. And everybody, we've had a wonderful time talking to you again. We love you dearly. Have a great night. Bye.
Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them, but now I believe them. Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them, but now I believe them. Everybody's stupid, everybody's stupid, and everybody's stupid about me. Oh, somebody told me that you were so stupid. So